If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. I'm not sure. Bob said that. Hello? Does it work? Or am I just loud? I'm just loud? Oh, if nothing's working, then I'm just going to go for it. He told me I had to stand still, but I can't hear anything. So, with that being said, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Tonight I want to look at, with you, an interesting story about a very human man. So, if you have your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, look with me in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let's open in prayer. Dear Jesus, dear God, thank you for tonight. I pray that you be with me as I preach your word. I pray that you'd help me to say what you want said, nothing more. Your word's not mine. I pray that you'd help everyone here to want to glean something from it. I pray that you'd be with us the rest of this week, this evening. I pray that you'd help us to have a great week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, here we have an interesting story because you have two people who are walking on water. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody walk on water. I haven't. But here, there's two people walking on water. A man named Peter and Jesus. Now, who I want to talk about tonight is Peter. And Peter is a very interesting character. Throughout the Bible, he has multiple times where he's failed as a Christian, but is still loved and highly favored by Jesus. To learn kind of where Peter came from, let's look back at the very beginning when he gets called by Jesus. In the gospel accounts, what's interesting about this particular passage is that 3 out of 4 talk about this particular instance of getting into a boat, going onto the sea, and Jesus walking on water. However, Matthew is the only one who references Peter walking on the water. After the feeding of the 5,000, you know, when Jesus took a little boy's lunch and fed a lot of people, this story takes place just after that. And if we look in Matthew, who talks about this particular event with Peter, and you go back to Matthew chapter 4, turn with me there. There's going to be a little bit of Bible reading, just to kind of set the base of where we're going with this tonight. In verse 18, Matthew describes in 3 verses the calling of Peter. And Jesus, verse 18, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew was a very straight-to-the-point individual. If you read this, it almost sounds odd, kind of weird. Almost like these men were kidnapped by Jesus. He came up and said, Stop what you're doing, follow me. And they stopped what they were doing, and they followed him. Now, Matthew was almost like he wrote this to men. It was just straight to the point. Like, Jesus showed up, he said, follow me, they followed him, and that was the end. However, the neat thing about the Gospels is each writer wrote it a little different. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Matthew wrote that story for men, and Luke wrote this one for women, because they have to have all the details about everything. The Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 1, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, this is Jesus that it's talking about, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought all their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So Luke wrote this story just a little bit different than Matthew did. Matthew said, Jesus pulled up, said, hey, follow me, and they left and they followed him. Luke writes a very detailed, descriptive message about Peter here. He tells Peter, cast your net into the sea. And he said, we've done this all night. We've been doing this. We haven't caught anything. But because you tell me to, I'll go ahead and do it. And he caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. Now, the picture that I want you to see here is when Jesus says, thou henceforth shall catch men. Not literally, he's not going to hunt people. He's saying that he's going to be used by God to witness to many people and bring more people to Christ. In the beginning part of Acts, after Jesus has ascended and Peter's preaching at the day of Pentecost, he preaches to a lot of people, and the Bible says there were 3,000 people that were baptized. That's a net full of fish. And that's the description that he's giving. Peter's also a very interesting character because, like I said before, he failed multiple times in his life while Christ was on the earth. He denied Christ 3 times when they said, "Hey, you were with Jesus." No, I wasn't. Hey, oh yeah, you were that guy that was with him. And no, I wasn't. We know you. You were with him. Nope, was not. Failed multiple times there. How many of you know somebody that when they do something, they do something that not necessarily annoys you, but it's like, I've got a kid, one of my sons, and I don't think I have to say his name. I think everyone can kind of guess who I'm talking about here. He sometimes he likes to do things that make me go, and there's sometimes in Peter's life where I'm sure he made Jesus kind of go, Look with me in John chapter 18. I'm just laying the foundation. We're trying to get a look at what Peter looks like. If I was to describe, if someone were to ask me to describe Peter in one word, which is a weird question, I don't think anybody would really ever ask me that. Actually, Luke would probably ask me that, the way he described everything. But anyways, I would describe him as human. He's a human being with human reactions in circumstances. In John, I should turn there too. John chapter 18 and verse number 10 is an interesting story. Jesus in the garden, Judas is coming to betray him. And if you look at verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, when he does this, it kind of almost makes me think, Jesus, why did it? Which is, this passage is also interesting to me, because out of every place I would imagine to use a sword, the right ear of somebody is probably the last thing that I would use it on. So, like, just to picture the circus and how I picture this, I don't know if he cut it off so he couldn't hear what his next move was. I don't know what the reason of why he cut his ear off, but God used it as a way to, he picked his ear up and put it back, like he healed the person. But it's just one of those things. This is who Peter is. He's zealous. He wants to do good things, but he also messes up. So look back in Matthew chapter 14. Now that we kind of have a little short, not very good at it, just for lack of time, but a little bit kind of an idea of who Peter is. Look back in Matthew chapter 14. This is the last time. I'll have you turn to one other verse when at the very end. And let's look back at verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear." Now, the other Gospels, when it reads this, it says the exact same thing. And I would like to imagine it's the exact same picture in my head of a bunch of grown men in a boat screaming that there's a ghost. That's how I picture this, is them all looking like, "What's that? Ah!" And then freaking out. That's how it pictures. That's how it's described here. That's how I would like to imagine it. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." So, when we look back at Peter was a fisherman. He was used to being in a boat, I would imagine, being a fisherman, and using nets. He'd have to be used to being in a boat. When they're on this boat in the sea, and the waves are crashing and the wind's blowing, I would like to think, based off what I read, that Peter was more comfortable in the boat. He's been on these things before. He's been on the seas. He's been in the wind. He's been rocked around on a boat before. He may have even fallen out of a boat before. But I would like to think that he's kind of more so at home, comfortable, not really afraid. The only thing it says here is they were afraid because they saw Jesus and they thought it was a ghost and they all screamed. But he says, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." There's going to be times in your life where you're on a boat in waves of uncertainty with the winds of life. And there's going to be times where you're going to call on Jesus for circumstances, things you come across. And he's going to tell you, "Follow me," but he's going to be out on the water. He's going to be out in the waves. And Peter shows his faith and saying, "Lord, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So now all the other disciples are in the boat. Matthew's the only one recording this. Watch as Peter take steps out on the water. The Bible is very clear. He walked on water. Peter had enough faith to start the journey, to take the step out. As he was walking on the waves, he wasn't afraid. He knows God's out there. God told me to do this. I'm going to follow along. I'm going on the water. The winds didn't scare him. Again, the waves didn't bother him. He's a fisherman. He's used to this. There'll be times in your life where you're in the boat and you'll watch other people start walking on the waves. You'll see them start doing things. They'll get doctor reports of masses that you have no idea what it is. But when you step out on the water and it's your turn to trust Jesus, it's a little different. And you'll see here, Peter's out on the water and it says, But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This is very fascinating because it's almost like he was, the way you read it, the way you, as it's written, it almost sounds like he was being shamed. Like, how come you couldn't believe me anymore? When you read that, the actual description of little, when it says, and immediately Jesus called him and said, O thou of little faith. Peter, when it says little here, it means short-termed. O ye of short-term faith. Peter had enough faith to step out on the water. Peter had enough faith to walk on water. He took steps. It's not that he sank right away and just said, you doubted me as soon as you climbed out of the boat. He walked on water. And Jesus said, O ye of short-term faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship, verse 33, came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. There'll be times in your life where you'll call to Jesus. God, I don't know what you want me to do, where you want me to go, how you want me to do it. And Jesus will say, follow me. And you'll have to step out of the boat. And your first step's not bad because, you know, where you came from, it's okay. You know, I'm good. I'm walking on water, but I'm right here. I'm home. I'm comfortable. As Peter started walking, he got further away from what he was comfortable with. And then the waves started, he started looking around, and the wind started blowing. Maybe the boat even drifted away. And he got nervous with the tides of life and the winds of uncertainty, and he started to sink. Turn with me for one more time to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you know who wrote this? The same guy who was walking on the water. Do you know what he's saying here? That time in my life when I started to sink, when my faith was being tested, means more to me than anything that this world can give. Why? Because it brings honor and glory to God. Recently, Krista went to the doctor's office just for a regular routine checkup. And they find a mass twice the size of a baseball right in the center of her stomach. Don't know what it is. No idea. The first thing the doctor says is, we're not going to panic. Typically, that's a good time to start panicking. We got to do all these tests. We'll do all these tests, and we'll figure it out. We don't know. Trust God for the next step. The next test. The next result. As your waves come through and the phones start to ring, all those events in your life, the trying of your faith, according to Peter, are worth more than anything this world can give, because it brings honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, God. I pray that it was a help. I pray that you would use it in a mighty way, God. I pray that you bless us as we go home. Keep us safe on our rides home. I pray that you give us a wonderful evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.